Today we come to the conclusion of a series that I've entitled Family Values, where we've been focusing in on what we value as a church family based on Acts chapter 2. And this morning in Sunday school, we focused in on these particular verses again, as we see in the early church and what they were devoted to and what they valued and what they had committed their life to. In fact, it said they were devoted to. They were committed to. Is there something they were passionate about? And as a discipleship and outreach commission, we brought these before the official board. The official board had adopted these, and we have adopted these as our core values, as what we value in the church and important based on God's word. And today we bring it to a conclusion. Just to review, remind us where we were. We began with worship. And we learned in worship that worship is more than just attending a service, right? Worship is living our life for the Lord. It's whatever we do for our God, doing it unto His name for His glory, doing it as an act of worship to Him. See, if you can remember this, after worship came prayer. Yes, and we value prayer. And the disciples were committed to the apostles' teaching and to prayer and devoting themselves to prayer. And prayer is something we value. We take time in our worship service every Sunday to commit some time to prayer, but not only here, something we're called to do at home as well. So we value prayer, we value worship, we value, third, you remember, discipleship. And discipleship is that of becoming like Jesus, growing in our faith, becoming like Him, each day seeking to become more like Christ than the day before. We found in Acts chapter 2 that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. That's growing in the commitment of relationship to Christ. We also value fellowship, as we saw last week. And we learned that fellowship is more than just eating together. Even that's part of it. We do that well. And we like to eat. And I've heard it said that EC stands for eating constantly or eating Christians. I don't know. But we have that part down pretty well. But we learned that fellowship is more than just that. It's sharing life together. It's doing life together and being there for one another, being concerned and caring for each other. And today we come to the final one. And that is, we've seen worship, prayer, discipleship, and fellowship. The final one is that of service. And we come to the value of service. And what does it mean to serve? Because we're going to see today that service is something that's not optional for us. God didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. If He didn't save us to serve, then after we were saved, He would call him, taking us home to be with Him. But He's left us here on earth for a purpose, right? And He's left us here to be a blessing to others, and to serve Him and to serve one another. Our purpose as a church is to love and to serve God and each other. And how we do that is through these core values. And through these core values, we demonstrate our love and our service to Him and to others. Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, a church that he knew well, a church that he had spent 3 years as their pastor, their first pastor, teaching them. In fact, he had led many of them to faith in Christ. On his missionary journey there, if you know anything about the city of Ephesus, it was known, it was a pretty metropolitan city, a pretty big city for Bible times. A couple hundred thousand people lived there. It was a pretty huge city. And there was a big temple there, the Temple of Diana. And it was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world of that time. And when Paul came into town to preach, a great riot broke out because people were coming to be saved and they were no longer worshiping the false god Diana anymore. And the people that made money off of her idols were beginning to suffer. But the church grew. And Paul spent 3 years teaching them and instructing them in the faith. Now he's pastoring. Now he's writing back to them and continuing to teach them and instruct them in some things on the church and how it's to function. We get to this portion, and he's talking about that of serving. and how we're all one family and how we're to work together. And we're going to discover together this morning three principles about the fact that God has called you and I, all of us, to full-time service. Because when we think of the word full-time service, what do you think of? For us, most of us, me, when I think of full-time service, we think of a missionary, maybe, or a pastor. After all, it's my job on Sunday morning to stand up here and to teach and to preach to you, right? That's my job, and that's what I'm being paid for. So it's my job. I'm in full-time service, and you can just sit back and just relax, right? After all, that's what full-time service is, and that's what we think. But Paul says, no, every Christian is to be in full-time service for Christ. And we're going to discover this morning how that happens and why. Because there's three principles about service we want to discover. First thing Paul tells us why all of us are to be in full-time service is because you and I, every one of us, is gifted for service. God has given every one of us, if we're a believer in Christ, if you're saved, he's given you a gift. At least one, it's believed maybe two or three predominant gifts, but he's given all of us some kind of gift. And it's not to be held on to. It's not to be something that we're to keep, but it's a gift to serve him. Here he gives a list, partly, but there's others in 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. But notice verse 7. He says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. We are gifted for service because every believer has been called to ministry. Now, what does the scripture say here in verse 7? To some of us, grace gifts were given. Does that say that to some of us? No, it says to each of us. Means that God has gifted you. And I don't know if you've ever considered yourself, but you are gifted by God. And God has given you a special gift to serve him. Sometimes in the church, sometimes in the community, as we'll talk about that as we see how these gifts are used. But he's given every one of us gifts. And because of that, we're called to ministry. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Keep your finger here. But 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talking about the gifting of the church again. And in chapter 12, verse 7, he again says, talking about spiritual gifts, Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Does he say to some? Again, it says to each one of us. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Then he goes on to say, to one, it's a gift of wisdom, to other, knowledge, to other, gifts of healing, prophecy, speaking in tongues, gifts of service, gifts of help. There's all different kinds of gifts that God's given. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see pastor, teaching, evangelists, prophets, but there's others as well. Because all of us have been called to ministry. Now, if you look down at verse 12, as we're back in Ephesians 4, and it said, we've been given these gifts for a reason, and that's to prepare God's people for works of service. And that's our word we want to focus in on today, service. That's our value. That word service, you know what that word is? The word service is this word, deacon. You ever heard that word deacon before? In Acts chapter 6, deacons were chosen to serve the church, to assist the pastors, the apostles, in carrying on the serving work of the ministry of the church. A lot of times administration work, and it was administration work in those times, to carry those works on so that the pastors, evangelists, and the apostles could devote themselves to prayer and the word. But it's the word deacon. Or minister. It's another word, means minister or ministry. It says that all of us have been given a gift for works of service or ministry for Christ. That's why all of us, Everyone here is called into full-time ministry service for God. Now, in the front of our bulletin, we put it there every week, and it says who your pastor of the church is and who our organist is, Thelma, and the wonderful job she does. But it also says who our ministers are. And who are the ministers of our congregation? The ministers of the congregation are, our ministers are, all of us. We're all gifted for ministry to serve him in whatever gift or capacity he's given us. And you know, that is a great opportunity, and it's a great privilege, and it's a great joy to serve God and to be considered a minute to minister to him, isn't it? Because you know, in the Old Testament, I want to show you how great opportunity it is. In the Old Testament, before Jesus came, and there were, not everybody had the privilege of serving God or being a minister in the Lord's temple. Not everybody could do that. Out of all the 12 tribes of Israel, the Lord only chose one. Do you remember who it was? It was the tribe of Levi. And only those who were descendants of the tribe of Levi could be ministers in God's house. And they were chosen to do all the work of ministry in the temple. And whenever the tabernacle days, to take the tabernacle down and to cover it and to transport it and to set it up and to help and to assist the priests. But only the Levites could serve God and be ministers. And even of the Levites, only the descendants of Aaron could serve as priests. It was very specific. But after Jesus came, he made all of us a kingdom of priests to serve him. Isn't that great? And he's given us all the calling and the gifts and the privilege, and it's a privilege and a joy to serve God. And all of us have been gifted to do it. With whatever gift it may be. Maybe it's the gift of serving and helping people. And I know a lot of you in this church have that gift, and you do it well. Maybe it's a gift of leadership and administration. Maybe it's a gift of mercy. And there is a gift of mercy where someone's going through a hard time and you come alongside of them and just put your arm on their shoulder and say, I'm praying for you. Maybe it's a gift of faith that you can believe God for the when other people have a hard time, but believing God for the impossible. Whenever Lisa's mother's going through, when Lisa's going through that hard time, and the gift of faith, Bev, to believe that God's going to bring her through it. Or maybe it's the gift of giving. Or maybe it's the gift of teaching. Or maybe it's a gift of music. But God has given all of us different gifts, and we're called to serve him and to use those gifts. But not only are we called to ministry, but we see that all believers are equipped for ministry as well. As we go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. It says, that is why it says, when he ascended, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. And he gave gifts to every one of us. And that he gave some of these gifts, pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service. But God has given us gifts, and he has given us the ability to use them. Because when God gifts us, he equips us, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the teaching that we need to be equipped to serve him. Because God doesn't call us to serve him without giving us ability to do it. And how do you know where God's maybe leading you to serve? Well, do you feel a nudge in your heart? Sometimes you feel a nudge in your heart about a particular thing. That may be God saying, you know, that's something I care about. Maybe it's the food bank. And you feel a certain sense of passion in your heart and concern for the food bank and serving there. Maybe that's a nudge and saying that's where God wants you to serve. Maybe it's unwed mothers and say maybe a way you can serve God is by helping out at the pregnancy center in Columbia. Or a concern that God, burden God puts on your heart. But also another we can tell is by whenever you do it, you enjoy it. And you find joy in your gift of service. But we are all gifted to serve. The second thing we discover from God's word in the principle we discover in service is that there is a goal. There is a goal for service. Why did God give every one of you a gift? Why are we gifted people? What's his purpose? Because he has a purpose for every spiritual gift. He has a purpose for the gift he's given you. And you may say, but Dan, I don't feel gifted. Well, we are. And I feel I don't have anything I can contribute. We do. And God has a purpose for every one of us and for the service gifts he's given us. And one purpose is that Christ's love will be shown. Because through gifts of service and through acts of service and love that we do in Jesus' name, it shows love to people in time of need. And serving others opens up the door for the gospel. That's behind what Samaritan's Purse does, and that's part of their ministry and part of their purpose. Why they do, they'll go into some places where they need water or some of the poorest places, and they'll just serve the people there. And by meeting that need, it opens the door to share Christ. Just our presence sometimes being there and showing that we care opens doors. Maybe at the food bank, visiting the sick. And maybe those who are sick, you just feel stopping in and visiting them. Sending a card to somebody in need. Going into the prisons. That's hard to do. But yet it shows God's love there. Acts of kindness. Just a random act of kindness to someone you may not even know. But it shows God's love to them. Give you an example. Last summer, I think it was, whenever Gigi's was open in the summertime, and it's closed now. I think it was the summer before when Gigi's was open. Kim and I were up there on a Friday night, and we went in, and if you've ever been to Gigi's, you know how busy and packed that place can be. I mean, it can really get busy, and especially on a Friday night. And we went in on a Friday night to have dinner, and there was no place that we could sit except in the very back. Gina said, well, there's some tables in the back, so we went back there. We got back there, and there was only one table that was available, and there was people sitting at it, another couple. And so we said, we'll just wait. And they said, no, you can sit here with us. So we sat there with this couple we didn't know and was talking to them, had dinner, and we said, is this your first time here? And they said, yeah, and we had some conversation. And we got up to leave, and Gina says to us, your dinner's been taken care of. We said, what? She said, yeah, that couple that you were sitting with, they paid your bill and they took care of it for you. And we thought, wow. You know, and just random acts of kindness like that, of serving, as ways that shows the love of Christ in tangible ways. Maybe to people who don't even know. Consider whenever you're out in a restaurant, and a lot of us like to go out and eat, right? And when you're going out to eat, I come across an idea in a book recently. I haven't tried this yet, but you know, I'm thinking of trying this myself. That whenever you sit down at your meal, before you go and have your meal together, most of us, at least I hope you have the custom of praying before your meal and giving thanks to God before you, even out in the public, because that's a good witness. But ask the waitress, because you know, sometimes those waitresses or servers have rough days. Sometimes they're going through rough and hard times, and we may not even realize and understand it. And I've come across this idea where before you pray, say to the server, you know, well, it's customary for us to pray before we have our meal. Is there anything particular you'd like us to pray for you today? And see what they say, and remember that in prayer. It's just a way to show you care. Kim and I, we were at Cracker Barrel one time having a meal, and the server came, and I could tell there's something pretty heavy on his heart. And I said, well, how are you? And called him by his name and all that. And he got into a conversation and found out his family was involved in the flooding in North Carolina, and he was really concerned about them. And so I said, well, we'll pray about that for you and all that. But just little ways that you can show you care to people and serve them wherever you are. It shows the love of Christ. The service opens up doors for his love to be seen in you and I in some practical, tangible ways. James chapter 1, verse 27 says that religion that God considers is that of taking care of the orphans and showing his love and grace. So part of his purpose is to show the love of Christ. Part of the purpose of serving is that the body will be complete. Notice what it says again in verse 13. It says, he's given us gifts to prepare God's people for works of service or ministry for the purpose of, for this. So that, here's my purpose, God says, that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So by serving each other and using the gift that God's given you in the church and in the community, but in the church particularly, the body becomes complete, meaning not lacking anything. A healthy body, in order for it to be healthy, every part has to be working well. If your heart isn't pumping blood, that's very serious. Or even if your big toe hurts, which we think isn't, our big toe's not, but you know, our big toe's important for balance. And every part of the body that God put in, created in us is important and has a function. And if it doesn't work, our body is not going to be healthy and strong. The same way in the church body, God's given every one of us a gift to serve. And if we're not fulfilling that role, the body's not going to be complete. It's not going to be healthy. It's not going to be strong. We're going to be lacking something. It says the way we grow to full, become mature in Christ, and that's discipleship, that's our other value. But what leads us to discipleship is our serving together, each one of us using our gifts, so that we can all together attain to the full measure of Christ, to that place of growth and maturity in him, that we don't lack what we need spiritually. So that's part of the purpose, that the body would become complete. Another purpose is that the mission would be accomplished. The mission of God's love being known, of Jesus being known around the world and our community. And how does that happen? By our service. The scripture said that we are the light of the world, and a city on a hill cannot be hid. But he said, do your good works before men, that they can see and give glory to your Father in heaven. Because we will never change the world by going to church. We will only change the world by being the church. And being the church means being the hands and feet of Christ. It means showing people that we care. Showing people that we love them. Showing people Jesus' love in action through us. And do you believe that? That's the only way difference is going to happen, is when we are represent and are Jesus where we live, through acts of service and love. And that's how people are brought to him. And the mission of helping people know Jesus is accomplished. Also, another purpose for service is that God will be glorified through it. Because when acts of service are done in his name and we use the gifts for him, God is glorified. Just as Thelma, when she plays the organ and uses that gift every week, God is glorified through that. God is glorified whenever Bill does and comes up and does, helps the service and helps me build the train for the play coming up. God will be glorified through that, Bill. And through acts of service that we do, and many times we do it, and I know a lot of you come and serve and do things without mentioning it, and that's because we don't do it for man, we do it for God, right? And all that matters is ultimately that he gets the glory. And as we use the gift, if it's serving families, caring in the kitchen, and God is glorified through that, and his love is shown through that ministry at that time. Whatever gift it is that God's given you to do, use it unto him for his glory, because the scripture says whatever we do, do it all in the glory of Christ. Derek up there in the sound room, God is being glorified so I can be heard, so that the word can be heard and we can grow in it. But every ministry, every role is important. The usher standing at the door, greeting on the way in. Every role and every need is important. And God is glorified through it. That's the purpose of service. Don't take your role and say it's not important. It is. It's important in the building of the church and the glory of God. And another purpose is that faithfulness will be rewarded. We don't serve just for the rewards. But yet, the scripture teaches us that when we serve him faithfully and we use the gifts that he's given us to his name and to his glory, there will be a reward. Remember, Jesus told a story about three guys who had been given talents. And they had these talents and they were to use them for the Lord. Remember the story? The one took his talent of five and he put it to work and he invested it and he used his talents that God had given him and he doubled it from five to ten. And the Lord, in the day of accounting, said, "That was great. You took and you doubled what I gave you." And he said to him those wonderful words we all long to hear someday, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he said, "Enjoy your father's happiness." Then there was another one who had three. And he took it and he doubled again. And the Lord was pleased. But you remember the one who took his and he hid it? And he buried it in the ground? And he held on to it and he said, "I'm not going to put this to work. I'm not going to use it. I'm afraid maybe if I invest it somehow, I might lose the return." So he buried it. And he didn't use it. The day of accounting, when he stood before the Lord, how did the Lord look on him? He was not pleased because he didn't use his talent, his gift of serving to the Lord. And the Lord took it from him and gave it to the one who had the most. Faithfulness will be rewarded. And the best words that any of us long for is the day when we stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Here is the reward. Enjoy your reward for serving me." Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, we're in Ephesians. Colossians, just one book back. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Where Paul writing says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for men, as working for the Lord, not for men. For since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, for it is the Lord that you are serving." And he reminds us that it is the Lord that we are serving with whatever gift it is he's given us. And he said, use it faithfully, not for men, but for him. And whatever we do, do it with all our heart in service to God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul reminding us that when we stand before the Lord someday, there will be a reward based upon our service. In chapter 3, verse 10, he says, "For by the grace of God given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and some else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, because no one can lay any other foundation other than what has already been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work." And Paul said, we're going to have to give an account on the day of when we stand before him of our service. So faithfulness will be rewarded. And I'm sure when we get to heaven, you're going to want to have crowns to lay at his feet and to return back to him. Those crowns of service that are earned and given by by the service that we do here on earth. The only thing that we can take to heaven with us is the treasures that we lay up in heaven. The treasures that we lay up on earth, we can't take, but the treasures we lay up on heaven through our faithful service to Him are going to be waiting there for us. And that's what will be rewarded, and that's what we'll endure. We're gifted for service, and there's a purpose and goal in the service and the gifts that God's given us. But the third thing we see, and the third principle, is that we grow through service. Through our gifts of service that we use, gives us opportunities to grow in our faith, and that's what we want. Every one of us to become more like Jesus. That's His purpose for us ultimately. That's what, in Romans chapter 8, and Gary and I were having a discussion this morning a little bit before Sunday school, and we had some really interesting discussions in Sunday school. Come in there and you get into some, but we had an interesting one before Sunday school on predestination, which I'm not going to get into. But it says in Romans chapter 8 that God has predestined us for something. And it says what we're predestined for is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And God has predetermined, and His purpose for us is that we become more like Him. That we grow into His likeness. That every day we become more like Jesus than the day before. That's our discipleship value. But how does that happen? Partly through serving. Through serving we grow. Well, you say, well, Dan, how do you see that? Well, what's the scripture say here? Verse 14 of Ephesians 4. It says, then, as we use our gifts in ministry, it says, then the result will be we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by the wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and the deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is Christ, that is the head. And from Him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows. We see the word grows twice there. It grows up in Christ. How? How's verse 16 end? It says this growth happens as each part does its work. Meaning that if we're not using the gifts of service, we're not going to grow to where we need to be in Christ. If we're not using the gifts of service, we as a church are not going to grow mature in Him. We're not going to grow in Him individually either. But growth happens through gifts of service. Why? Because serving makes us more like Jesus. We're not, one of the times we're most like Him is when we humble ourselves and serve like He did. Jesus gave us an example in John chapter 13 of what that humble service looks like. And I confess, it would be very hard to do. But it's whenever He got up from the table in the upper room. He took off His outer garments, you remember. He got a pitcher and towel. He went around and He began to wash the feet of each of His disciples and took on the role of what the servant would do. And He said, I've given you an example to follow after Me. Some of the times we look most like Jesus is when we're serving those in need. When we're sitting alongside someone who's mourning. When we're put a hand around someone and say, I'm praying for you. When we go and visit those who are sick. When we show love to those who are unloving. When we extend a hand to someone who needs it. When we give to meet a need. That's when we're being like Jesus. And that's when we look like Him. Because Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And He says, wherever I am, that's where My people will be. And where is Jesus? How did He demonstrate love for us? We become like Him through serving and through serving Him. And that's how growth happens, because it makes us more like Christ as we demonstrate that love and that humility. That He who did not consider Himself but made Himself nothing and became the very nature of a servant. Said in Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 27, there was an argument among the disciples over who was the greatest one. In fact, what they were arguing about is who was going to sit next to Jesus, one on the right and one on the left. And the whole argument happened when the mother of James and John, the two brothers who were close to Jesus in the inner circle, came to Jesus one day and they said, "Jesus, I want you to do something for me." They said, "Will you let John sit on your right and Jesus and James on your left side when he come into your kingdom?" And Jesus said, "That's not for you to decide." And the other disciples heard about this and a whole argument began to come about. You can imagine that they would. They began to argue about this whole thing of who was the greatest and how dare her, you know, put her sons in that place. And Jesus said, "No." He said, "In my kingdom, it's not that way. In my kingdom, the greatest one is the one who serves." And that's how we become like Jesus. That's how growth happens. It also brings growth because it makes the body strong. It says, "In him, the whole body is built up and becomes strong and grows together in him." And through our serving, it makes each other and makes the body a stronger unit as we serve him together. Serving also builds and helps us grow because it builds us up in love. And it says, "In him, the whole body is held together and built up as we speak the truth in love," verse 15, "and in all things grow up into him that is Christ the head." Building us up in love. In Galatians 5, verse 13, it says to serve one another in love. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says that God is love, and he demonstrated that love by sending Jesus. And it says that we can't say that we love God if we see a need around us and we're able to meet that need. It says if we have material possessions and we see a need around us and we don't take care of that need, we can't say we love God. He said that love is to be shown in a tangible way. And so that love is built up and expressed through our gifts of service and our acts of service we do for him. And serving helps us to grow because it keeps us spiritually fit. It says that the whole body and every supporting ligament is held together and built up in love as each part does its work, keeping us spiritually fit. Service is spiritual exercise. And exercise, as much as I hate it, is good for us, right? And it keeps our physical body strong and healthy and vibrant. Spiritual exercise does the same thing. And there are several spiritual exercises. One's reading God's word and being faithful to that. One is prayer, but another is serving. And service is a form of spiritual exercise. And by doing that and exercising our gift and using our gift that God's given us, it keeps us spiritually fit. And by keeping us spiritually fit, we're growing up in Christ and becoming more like him. So how has God gifted you? He has. If you're not sure what your spiritual gift is, I would challenge you this week to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians 4, and Romans 12. Read over those lists of spiritual gifts that God has given, and they're all laid out there. And ask him to show you, which one of these gifts have you given me? And once you discover what that gift is, begin to use it and ask God to show you, how can I use this gift for you? Whether in the church or in the community. But how can I use the gift to serve you? Because you've called me to do it. Because someday there is a goal. The body of Christ will be built up, and when we stand before him, we will be faithfully rewarded. And it gives us that opportunity to grow stronger in him. For to every one of us, grace has been given as Christ, meaning as he has decided and as he has apportioned it. And as he has determined and given those gifts to us according to his will and purpose. So we value service. It's important, along with worship, prayer, discipleship, and fellowship. The apostles in the early church was devoted to it. And I pray that we as Reich's Church as well, we'd be devoted to those five values. Because it is through those five values that together we grow strong and become the people of God that God wants us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for calling us into ministry. For Lord, all of us are in full-time ministry for you. You didn't save us to sit on the sidelines, but you saved us to roll our sleeves up and to get in, to be active in our faith for you. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works means nothing. We're not saved by our works, but our works is a demonstration of our service, is a demonstration of our faith in you. And so, Lord, I pray for each one here this morning, all of us, that you'd show us how we are gifted for ministry, that you'd reveal that to us by your Spirit. How have you gifted us and gifted me? And then once we know that, show us, Lord, opportunities that we can use that gift for you, not for your glory, not for us, but for your glory, that the whole body may be built up, that we all may become stronger, and that we grow into maturity in the faith and become the people of God you want us to be, because, Lord, it takes all of us doing our part for that to happen. And so, Father, may we be faithful with the gifts you've given us, and whether it's little or much, to be faithful with it. And Lord, knowing that someday we stand before you to hear you say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have done well. You have served me well." And Lord, that's what we all want to hear someday. And so, Father, maybe there's joy in service. We thank you for the privilege of serving you. There's joy in serving you together as your people. And so, Lord, may we be faithful and committed and devoted to the service as well as to the fellowship and to worship and prayer and growth in you. As we in all things grow up into you, the head, Jesus Christ, the Lord of the church, the one who we love and serve together. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.